glad to be with you this morning and trust that as we look into God's Word, that each of us will be encouraged in the things of the Lord. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 17, 17th chapter of Acts, we'll begin there. Have you ever been discouraged? Oh, you say, that happens to everybody. At times, discouragement, it's hard to define. It arrives when something we had planned or anticipated did not come to pass. And we become discouraged, naturally. All of the leaders of the Bible had to warn their followers to not become discouraged. Deuteronomy 1:21 says that the words of Moses said this. Moses said, "Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. Fear not, neither be discouraged." The Apostle Paul also wrote often concerning the need for encouragement. And he used two Greek synonyms that have a similar meaning. One is to encourage or comfort. One is to encourage with counsel. And because he knew that Christians at times do become discouraged, and others too. And so I want to determine with you how to overcome discouragement. And we find that in the letter to the Thessalonians. But we're going to begin with Acts chapter 17 to see how the assembly began in that country of Thessalonica. Beginning with verse 5 of chapter 17. verse 1, I'm sorry. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. Now this is the Apostle Paul and the group that were with him. And there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, and risen again from the dead. And this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ, or the Messiah. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews who believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain vile fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. When they found them not, that is, when they didn't find Paul and his friends, they brought them to Jason, to the rulers of the city, crying, "These have turned the world upside down, are come here also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Judas, Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and the others, they let them go. And then the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. The letter to the Thessalonians was a letter that the Apostle Paul, probably the first letter that he wrote. We know that we have recorded 8 or 10 letters that are given to us in the New Testament. And as Paul thought of these folks at Thessalonica, he wanted to give them a means of encouragement in times of discouragement. And so I would like to share those with you this morning. And if you'll turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, the epistle, beginning with in chapter 2, verse 4, for brevity, but we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, who trusted our hearts, tested our hearts, and neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, whom we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. But you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring day and night, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. And you are witnesses that God also hath holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. For you know that we exhorted and encouraged and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. So the first source of encouragement, as we see here, is the pleading of the evangelists or teachers. Thessalonica was Paul's second stop in the peninsula of Greece. He stopped first at Philippi and stayed there for a while, and then he went to Thessalonica and began to preach there. And as Paul's method always was, he went first to the synagogue, because the Lord said that the gospel was to go forth to the Jews and the Gentiles. And so that's what Paul always did. He tried to carry the gospel to those who had some idea of who God was and where he lived. And so Paul preaches in the synagogue, and he's rejected. There were some that believed. There were some that listened to the gospel, and they became Christians. They became people who knew God and who invited God into their heart. And so we see, as we read this portion together in Acts, we get an idea that Paul was only 3 weeks at Thessalonica and then went on to other portions. That was not, I'm sure, not true. There's a break or a paragraph break in that portion that we read together. So that what happened was that Paul began to preach to the Jews and they rejected him, so he left and he began to preach wherever he could find a willing audience in the country, in the city of Thessalonica. Probably he was there, Bible scholars tell us, at least 3 months, because he taught them many wonderful truths concerning God and concerning salvation. And we see that as he writes to them, he recalls to their mind how he preached. He preached, of course, the gospel of God. And what is the gospel? It's how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. And Paul preached that gospel to men and women wherever he found them. But he reminds them how he preached. And these verses that we read together, beginning with verse 7, he preached to them gently. In verse 8, he preached to them lovingly. In verse 9, he preached to them laboriously. He toiled night and day to bring them the gospel. In verse 10, he demonstrated it. It wasn't just words. He backed it up with his life. And then, of course, individually, in verse 11, I went to each one of you, and then in the latter part of verse 11, he says, encouragingly, I wanted to encourage you. Even if you have become discouraged, the preaching of the word can become a means of encouragement. We noticed that Peter at Pentecost pled with them to come to the Lord Jesus. And many of them did on that first message. 3,000 trusted the Lord. And what a wonderful time that was there, as those who trusted him went out across the known world at that time, carrying with them the message of the gospel. How often have you heard a preacher speak about coming to the Lord? Does that fill your heart? Has that, if you were discouraged, has that encouraged you? I was listening to Brother Billy Graham preach the gospel on television just recently, and my heart was thrilled as he so clearly pointed out the need for men and women to come to Christ because we are sinners and because we need the Lord Jesus. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot be born again by any other means except by trusting Jesus as our Savior. And so the invitation of a preacher can be a source of encouragement. But continuing in that second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, we read, "For this cause also thank we God, without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, with effect, which effectively worketh also in you that believe." And then down in chapter 3, verse 1, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow worker, in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." There's that word again, comfort or encourage, help you in your faith. Now we know from Acts that the Apostle Paul, after he left Thessalonica, went to Berea, and from Berea he went down to Athens. And down in Athens, he preached to a great multitude of people again, but they didn't receive the gospel. There were a few that were saved. There were just a few that heard the word and believed, but most of them mocked at the Apostle Paul. And when you're going to mock the word of God, you can be sure that God will turn off that portion that he has for you of free salvation, full and free. And so Paul stopped preaching. I had an opportunity to visit Athens on my way out to Africa, maybe about 10 years ago now, maybe 12. So I went into the center of the city, and I asked a taxi driver to show me some of the sights of the city. I didn't have a tour or anything to go by. And so he did, and showed me, of course, the Acropolis and many other monuments that Greece has been able to preserve. And I asked him, I said, "How about showing me where Mars Hill is?" He said, "I've never heard of it." Now, Acts tells us that it was at Mars Hill where Paul preached his great message. And he says, "I'll ask some of the other taxi drivers." So he did, and they hadn't heard of it either. I found out it was at the bottom later. I found out it was at the bottom or at the base of the Acropolis. And that it was an amphitheater that was there in which many people would gather and they could hear a lot of different things. And Paul, you recall, reported for us in Acts that he preached to the Grecians about their unknown God. And then he told them about Jesus Christ. Well, Paul was in Athens, and I'm sure he was a little bit discouraged, but he said, "I'll send Timothy back to the Thessalonians and see how things are going there." And so he did, probably Silas as well. But Timothy was asked to establish them and comfort them. And we have the end of verse 2 there, concerning your faith. Now, Satan will always attack those who trust the Lord. You can be sure there will be an immediate attack to try to bring discouragement or try to bring you to be ineffective in the things of God. So that's why God saves us, that we might become effective for Him. And Satan, Paul was afraid that Satan might have done that for the Thessalonians. But Paul says, when Timothy returned, how I rejoice, because you had heard the word of God and had received it and were going on for the Lord. In a recent letter we had from a young lady who was commended from a California assembly, name of Karen Oliver. She's a teacher in a Christian school in Columbia. And she was home on leave this summer. And in the letter that we had from her, she said, I was having a disoriented time in life. And I was sitting in one of the assembly meetings and they were singing that hymn concerning the Lord Jesus. He said, where it says that of him that wandering as a homeless stranger in the world is handmade. And she said, you know, I thought the Lord Jesus was willing to suffer persecution and all that men could devise against him, and still as the Son of God he was willing to come. I found out later, because we have a new family in our assembly who came from her that same assembly in California, and they told me that she had just had a friend, or actually someone who had with whom she was engaged, break the engagement. And I'm sure that was a disoriented time for her, was it not? And no matter what the disorientation might be in your life or in mine, we can know that the Word of God is a source, is something that we can lean back on in time of discouragement. In Romans 15, we read, whatsoever things were written before time for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And so the Scripture can be a source of comfort. The Bible is a source of encouragement if you're discouraged today. But let's go on in that same chapter, in verse 6 of chapter 3. But now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought God's good tidings of your faith and love, that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. So, the Apostle Paul was comforted. I'm sure he was discouraged. He had preached his heart out in Athens and had the message had little result. And yet he would say that when the news came back that the Christians were going on in the Lord, that he was comforted by it. There was a young man who emigrated from Cyprus to Jerusalem. And he was among those who were saved at Pentecost. Whenever there was discouraged saints, this young man was sent to encourage them. And he did this so often that they soon stopped calling him Joe, which was his real name, but they called him Son of Encouragement. You know who it was? It was Barnabas. And that's what the word Barnabas means, son of encouragement. So the faithful Christians can be a source of encouragement. And I would question my own heart this morning, am I a source of encouragement to those round about me? Am I saying a word of encouragement or a word of writing a letter or doing something to encourage the people of the Lord? Now, Paul also has another message to give to the Thessalonians. And we often hear this portion when in times of funerals and so forth, but it's an important portion of the Word of God in chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that you sorrow not as others who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then he has these wonderful words, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Same word that I've been going over with today. Here we have the promise of the Lord's return. The Lord Jesus had made it plain that he was going to come again. John 14, you know those wonderful words, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And the Lord Jesus made it clear to his disciples and they to others that the Lord's return was something that they could depend upon. And so we have one of the most comforting portions of the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 15, there's another indication that the Lord would come again. And let me mention, if you've been listening to the Family Bible Hour that's on the radio every Sunday morning at 8:30, our brother has been speaking about that for the past 3 weeks, about the Lord's return. How imminent it is, how close we can see signs about us that are going to assure us that the Lord's coming is very near. Well, in 1 Corinthians 15, it ends that chapter by saying that our labor is not in the vain in the Lord. Why is that? Because the Lord is coming back and we shall go to meet him. Isn't that a wonderful promise? We needn't worry about the things not turning out the way we expected them. We might become discouraged in this life, but we know that we shall have himself to bring encouragement to our hearts and to our lives. We have some verses also in Hebrews chapter 10. And they're some of my favorite verses, but they have, I call it the salad verses, because they have the little word, let us draw near with a true heart, and let us hold fast, and let us consider one another in love. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together and exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. One time, some years ago, I was speaking to a brother who had been absenting himself from the assembly and from the meetings. And I said to him, brother, the Word of God says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He says, he knew the word. And he says, brother, you forgot something. You were supposed to stimulate or provoke me first to good work, then tell me about it. parted in the middle instead of showing what it is that God has for us. But there is a source of encouragement. So much the more as you see the day approaching, encourage one another. Encourage. If you're discouraged now, let me say this. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And God has promised that. But I must hurry on in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. And beginning with verse 12, well, and beginning with verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we awake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do. The promotion of each other can bring sources of encouragement. We're going to live together eternally. Let's learn to live together now. As we are living here on earth. You know that old, you've heard that old saying, that old poem that says, to dwell above with saints I love, that indeed is glory, but to dwell below with saints I know, well, that's another story. And that's not the way we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live with love. Love to one another. And with the idea of encouraging each other to do the things of the Lord. And so the Thessalonians were doing that, and Paul could commend them. And so we see that God was using the saints to comfort one another. Comfort yourselves together. Edify, build up one another as ye also do. In the early church, we read that there was a great number saved in Antioch. And the main assembly in Jerusalem were not sure how to treat the ones who had come to the Lord. And so one of the Jerusalem leaders was sent to determine what was happening. And who should it be but old Mr. Encouragement, Barnabas. And when he arrived, we read, he saw the evidence of the grace of God. He was glad, and he exhorted all of them to cling unto the Lord. We read that in Acts chapter 11. And so the promotion of each other can be a source of encouragement in our, and to overcome discouragement in our lives day by day. Now, the same verses that we were reading together, following on in verse 12, we beseech you, brethren, to know them who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and to be at peace among yourselves. For we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. And then he goes on for many other things. But I notice at least there's seven things here that we are to do, and some that the leaders are to do. First of all, we are to respect or know them who have the rule over us. And the Beck translation says appreciate. And that's not always easy to do. Maybe brother so-and-so or brother so-and-so is something that we're not, we think that someone else could do it better. But if one or more are doing the work of the Lord, we're to appreciate them. That's an admirement in the Bible. And then we're to hold them in regard, esteem them highly in love. And then we're to live in peace. Three things we are to do. But then there are some things that the elders are to do. They are to warn the unruly or the shirkers. They are to encourage the faint-hearted or the timid. They are to help or support the weak and be patient with everyone. And there are many things that the oversight can help in encouragement in the lives of Christians. I remember hearing of D.L. Moody, who one day had preached all Sunday, and the next day, on Monday, he was sitting in his office, and one of the elders came in, and dear Brother Moody was crying. He said, "What's the matter, brother? What's the trouble?" He says, "I preached all day long, and not one person got saved." "Oh," said this dear brother of the Lord, I've just been teaching a Sunday school class on the life of Noah." He said, "You know what? Noah preached for 150 years and not one person got saved in 150 years. Well, that encouraged Moody's heart. And the next week, somebody came up to him and said, "Brother Moody, I realize I'm a sinner and I would like to be saved." Brother Moody spoke the thought in his own mind for a minute and said, "I wonder what Noah would have said about that." We can see that we could become discouraged if we were like Noah, who preached and preached and preached and no one heard, except his own family. No one listened to what he had to say. Well, oversight can be a source of encouragement, and we can thank the Lord for that. Now, finally, in second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, just let me read a few verses for you, verse 16 and 17, the end of chapter 2. "Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Here we are, as the Word of God says, a source of encouragement can be and should be the Godhead, God the Father and God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they have united together to give us eternal encouragement. Isn't that something wonderful? But also, in their encouragement, they can strengthen us in everything we do and say. And we can turn to them. And that's not the full extent of our source of encouragement. If you would read in Acts chapter 9, all the churches of Judea and Samaria and Galilee were built up, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. So here's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, a source of encouragement for you and for me. What more do we need? That should be the experience, should it not, of us all. Story is told of a fire in a four-story building in the Midwest, and it was discovered that there was a little girl at the top floor at the window. And so the fire trucks were called, and they came, and they ran the ladder up to the fourth floor. There was a fire on the lower floors, and it was burning furiously. But the fireman started up the ladder, and as he saw the fire burning in the lower floors, he hesitated for a moment. And somebody in the crowd called, "Give him a cheer." And so when he heard the acclaim of the crowd, he continued up the ladder and rescued the little girl. When he brought her down safely, we find that a little bit of encouragement had meant the difference of life and death for the child. You and I can give a word of encouragement. I would think of the missionaries on the field. Have you ever written them a letter? Have you ever sent them a card? Have you ever done, just send them, perhaps those of you who have words or have ability to the internet, you can send them a letter in just a few seconds. But you can have the ability to encourage those who are laboring for the Lord. And you can be a great help to them. We at Malvern have been trying to do that recently. We have gotten, for the last year or two, we have taken the names of the new missionaries, and we send them a little gift and a letter saying, we just want to encourage you, because we know that in the first months of your time on the field is some of the most difficult times. And you're learning the language, and you're getting acclimated to a new environment. And we just want you to know we're praying for you, and we want to assist you in the work of the Lord. You know, we have gotten letters back from those folks saying, you don't know what a boost you were to us. Thank God that is possible in each of our lives, day by day. So we have sources of encouragement. Just to go over them briefly, there's the pleading of the evangelist. There's the power of the word. There's the pattern of the faithful. There's the promise of the Lord's return. There's the promotion of each other. There's the protection of the oversight. And finally, the provision of the Godhead. Now, if you're discouraged today, you can use one or all of those to assist you in your life. Father, we thank you again for the Lord Jesus, who gave of himself that we might have everlasting life. We pray that if there's one here who has never trusted you, has never taken you as their Savior, that they will realize that they need to come to the Savior. That Satan will try to discourage, but we have a God who is greater than all. And we have saints who can help in our walk. We would pray for each one here today. Help us to be encouraged in your work and in your word. So we ask you in Jesus' Christ.